What was that guy used to be on TV, the Mr. Science? Not Ice Cube. Come on, Daniel. What are you talking about? Huh? No, no, the one before that. Mr. Wizard. Because I used to tease our oldest son. We call him Mr. Weasel. All right. I got a question for y'all today. By the way, we're glad to have Martins with us. Stand up and let them see you. About a half head taller now. All right. And speaking of being tall, David, you've had a birthday this week, right? Yesterday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Huh? You're taller than him? Just keep saying that. All right. Got a question for y'all. This way. Look this way. All right, got a question for you. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Zoe? For our sins. Huh? Right? Not perfect. And he died for our sins on the cross so we could do what? Spend eternity with him in heaven, to be with him forever. The Bible says that, now listen to this verse. In fact, this might be in your kids' zone, one of the verses that y'all will memorize on into the year, but it's 1 Peter 3:18. It says, "For Christ has also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, so he might bring us to God." Jesus died on the cross once for all, for our sin, so he could be. Remember that illustration we gave y'all of the bridge? Jesus is the bridge that brings us to heaven, into a right relationship with him. Now, JP, it's good to see you here today too, son. All right. All right, now, I want y'all to look over here. Can everybody see this this little flask here?
Yeah.
All right. Now, yes, food coloring, but I'm gonna name a sin. Now, this water is gonna be like our lives, okay? Name a sin that people lying. Okay, when you lie, does that sin affect your life? All right, let's see if it affects your life. Woo, man! All right. I don't know. I'll let you drink it after we get done with it. All right, name another sin. Huh? Hate, okay. Hate. Does that affect your life? Let's see. Woo. Look at it. All right. Name another sin. JP?
Cheating.
Cheating, okay. Does that affect your life? Let's see. Ooh, boy. Yeah, it's getting dark in there, isn't it? All right. Okay. And what's another sin, Dave? Not listening, being disobedient. I know none of you angelic creatures have committed that sin this week, have you? Can I get a witness on that? Oh, you have no one willing to stand up for you today. So, yep. In fact, we might just put two in there for that one. Okay? All right, now. Now, what happens with this? We're going to stir it all up. And what does it look like?
It's red.
Ugh.
It looks like red,
kind of. Do you see what sin can do to your life? But when Jesus came, he said he died on the cross once for all for what? Our sin. And by his blood,
wow.
You're kidding me.
I'm so glad to be kidding.
What does Jesus do for us? He makes us clean, white as snow, by His blood. It's a big deal. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for these children. And Lord, today, I ask You just to rivet into their souls how important it is to have a relationship with You. Lord, that You forgive their sin and You make them new people. In Your name we pray. Amen. All righty, y'all can go to Kids Zone. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Remember last week I gave you an assignment, right? Remember your assignment? What was it? Listening to God and write it down. Did God speak to anybody last week? Did He tell you something? Anybody? Put your hand up if you know the Lord spoke to you last week. Okay. All right. Now, I know I'm not fooling myself into thinking that everybody listens to every detail of these sermons every week. Exactly. We're going to spend several weeks on this idea of hearing God's voice. And I want you to look at the Word with me. We're going to spend a couple of weeks in 1 Samuel, maybe even a little bit more, but for sure a couple of weeks in 1 Samuel. The story that I shared with kids last week was about Samuel and his call. Remember that? Remember the story? That, three times, and he says, at the end of it, he says, hear my Lord, speak to me, and I'm your servant, speak to me. And the Lord does. He brings revelation to him. Now, Eli, as we look at the story, Eli, who was the one kind of raising Samuel up, had a tough life. A lot of his own choosing. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were bad boys. They were empty. They were devoid of anything. They had no relationship with the Lord, and yet they were supposed to be in a place of leadership. Here comes Samuel. Samuel comes onto the scene. If we look in the last part, back up to chapter 3, verse 15, so we get the rest of the story. So Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. The Lord had given him a vision about what was going to happen to Eli and to his sons. And that vision was what? They were going to die. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," he said, "here I am." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel told him everything. He had nothing from him. He said, this is Eli, "It is the Lord. Let him do what he seems good to him." And thus Samuel, look at this now, verse 19. "And thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and I know you have different translations here, but literally what it says right there, it says, "and let none of his words fall to the ground." Remember a prayer we pray around here regularly? That we say, "Lord, if it's of you, let it stick, and if not, let it fall to the ground." There's a biblical basis for that. Let none of your And the Lord let none of his words fail. All of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. Now, how did they know that? How'd they know that? They knew that by coming there, by seeing Eli, by seeing this young man grow up. You know, we've warped here a few years. He's just a little guy. But he grows up in the Lord, and all of those relationships over time now, they're seeing that this man belongs to God. They see that in his life, and they know that he hears God's voice. And how do they know? Do they know that because he tells them that? Oh, I'm the representative of God. No. They know that because they've seen the evidence in his life. They confirmed him as a prophet of the Lord, and the Lord, Yahweh himself, appeared again at Shiloh. What did we learn in the earlier chapters? What had been happening? They had not been seeing God appear. They had not been sensing his presence and his power. But now, God comes. Because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I want you to see here today. I want you to listen to me closely. Open your mind and your heart about this idea of listening to the voice of God. The time when you could mail it in as a Christian is over. In fact, the truth is, that time never really existed. It was just a facade. Well, we could fool ourselves and think that we could be people who did not listen to the voice of God. Now, I want you to pay attention closely to that, because we move into the next chapter, something's going to happen. Because there's a transition now. Samuel has risen up but as a prophet and as a judge, but then you've got Hophni and Phinehas, who are Eli's sons, who are the priests of the Lord, who are supposed to be standing in the gap, who are supposed to be the ones serving the Lord, but they're not. And we're in this time of transition. I want you to see this in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Thus the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Now Israel went out to meet the Philistines in battle and camped beside Ebenezer. What does Ebenezer mean, anybody? It means the stone of my help. The rock of my help. You know, we sing, here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thine help I've come. Don't remember that hymn? Okay. I'll sing it for you. I knew that would shake up your memory. And so they came out to meet the Philistines in battle and camped beside Ebenezer while the Philistines camped at Aphek. If you look on a map, an old map, you'll see that they're very close to one another. You got Aphek here and then just a little ways southeast of Aphek is Ebenezer. Now, I want you to see here, nowhere does it say that God's leading them in the battle. Doesn't say that. It says the word of Samuel came to all of Israel. Now, Israel went out to meet the Philistines. Doesn't say that it was the Lord's for them to engage at this time. Verse 2. And the Philistines drew up in battle array to meet Israel. And when the battle spread, Israel was defeated before the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men on the battlefield. Would you say that's a pretty stunning defeat? You betcha. When the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? So suddenly now, they're bringing God into it. We don't see His name before, but now they're invoking Yahweh's name. How could He allow this to happen? Let us take to ourselves from Shiloh the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, that it may come among us and deliver us from the power of our enemies. What are they saying here? Let's go get the Ark of the Covenant. Let's fetch it, and we're going to march into battle with the Ark. What's that sound like? That sounds like a good luck charm to me. That sounds like witchcraft to me. Just a tactical mistake. Let's go get the Ark. And so the people sent to Shiloh. And from there they carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who sits above the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Hold the bus. Let's back up a chapter or two and let's see what had Hophni and Phinehas been doing. Now, first of all, the Scripture says they had no relationship with the Lord. In fact, they are called worthless men. Literally, it's the term, they were sons of Belial. Paul would use that term in 2 Corinthians. He'd use that as a term. It became a descriptor of someone who was absolutely devoid of anything of God. And in fact, later on, in some places, they would describe, in some circles, they would describe demons with this name, Belial. Worthless men. And they, the Scripture says, they did not know the Lord. That's in chapter 2, verse 12. Now, won't get into all the detail here. They were stealing, when people would bring the sacrifices to the Lord, they were stealing the best meat for themselves. Can you imagine that? Now, they're not stealing from men. Who are they stealing from? They're stealing from God. What do you reckon that did for the Lord? Not only that, the women who would come around there, glad, well, we still got children in here. They were having sexual relations with the women there at the place, the women that would be there as servants. They're offending the Lord. They're offending their people in every way. So when the Scripture, when God says, you're worthless, phew, that's pretty rough. Now, Eli would rebuke his sons. A fellow described as the man of God would come and give a very direct message to Eli in chapter 2. You can read that later. So, back to chapter 4, Hophni and Phinehas. Was God particular about the movement of that ark? Was He particular? You had to handle it correctly, right? And who is bringing it? Not only are they dragging it away from Shiloh, but they've got Hophni and Phinehas are leading the parade. Let me ask you this. Is anybody in the story listening to God? Samuel's the only one. And I want you to see here, In chapter 2, as you see the story, it does this a lot in Scripture. In chapter 2, it tells the story of Samuel, what's going on in his life, and the story of Hophni and Phinehas, and there's a stark contrast between the two. It's obvious. It's obvious. It's one of those teachings that we share a lot. It's God and not God. We have it again in chapter 4. Here is Samuel who is listening to the Lord. But here's Israel, and the armies of Israel are listening to Hophni and Phinehas. Verse 5. As the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord came to the camp, all of Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth resounded. Man, we got a big production here. We've got a big show going on. Man, surely the glory of the Lord. You can hear them, glory, you know, roll your voice like that. You know, surely the glory of the Lord is in this place right now. But what's in this place? Damnation and judgment. Do you get it? Do you see it? They're profaning the name of God. And when the Philistines, man, and now they're looking for evidence that they did the right thing. When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the noise of a great shout mean in the camp of the Hebrews?" Then they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. And look how they respond. The Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God, their God, Elohim, has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for nothing like this has happened before." See, they're blazing the trail. Oh, we hadn't thought about using the ark to lead us in the battle. We're blazing the trail. We've got new methodology. We've got a great way to war in the Spirit. Are you hearing me? Nothing like this has ever happened. Verse 8, "For us from the hand of these mighty gods." These are the gods who smote the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. So the story did get around. There were other peoples who knew what had happened. "Take courage and be men, O Philistines." Can't you hear it? I don't know what in the Philistine language what the word for wuss was, but don't be a wuss. "Or you will become slaves to the Hebrews." Can you imagine that? Now here they're doing their little motivational talk. Because you see, they look down on the Jews. They looked down on them and saw them as lesser people, less erudite, less developed, less cosmopolitan, less equipped in every way, less intelligent, all that. The Philistine society would have been the society of the day that was more developed. Are you following me? "Therefore, be men and fight." And so the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. And every man fled to his tent, and the slaughter was very great, for there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. What was the prophecy? They would die. They died. "Now a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line. He came to Shiloh." Follow the story now. The same day with his clothes torn and dust on his head. He came, behold, Eli was sitting on his seat by the road, eagerly watching, because his heart was trembling for the ark of God. What did Eli know in his heart? He knew what they had done was wrong. Then came to tell it to the city, and all the city cried. And when Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, "What does the noise of this commotion mean?" And then the man came hurriedly and he told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old. His eyes were set so he could not see. The man said to Eli, "I am the one who came from the battle line. Indeed, I escaped from the battle line today." And he said, "How did things go, my son?" And then the one could see, he couldn't see the ash and the torn clothes. And then the one who brought the news replied, "Israel has fled before the Philistines. And there's also been a great slaughter among the people. And your two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God has been taken." Now, note what Eli says. And when he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell backward beside the gate. His neck was broken and he died. He was old and heavy, and thus he judged Israel 40 years. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was pregnant, about to give birth. And when she heard the news of the ark of God was taken and their father-in-law and her husband had died, she kneeled down and she gave birth, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have given birth to a son." And she did not answer or pay attention. And she called the boy, "The glory has departed." Ichabod. That's what Ichabod means. The glory has departed from Israel because the ark was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God was taken." Now, there'll be some good news later. I want you to see this. God is not a God of formulas. Does this story tell you that? When you're listening to the voice of God, it's not a formula. If you've reduced Him to formulas, then you've taken God out of the mix. What had Israel done? What did Yahweh have to do with any of this? They removed Him. He's not a God of formulas. He desires that we listen to Him. He's not a God of our methodology. He desires that we listen to His voice. Had they consulted Samuel, what do you think Samuel's counsel would have been? Do you see this? I want you to see it. Here is a guy that we have verified who is hearing the voice of God, who the Scripture says, "And the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall." Here they have someone, even though they're not going to listen to God, he's listening to God, and he'll tell them that. But they ignore him. They push him out of the way. Not listening to anything. Listening to the voice of God doesn't need to be a last resort either. It needs to be our first stop because it changes everything. Look how many people died because they did not listen to God's voice. And profaning His name with this shout of worship that goes to the heavens. You can make the biggest show you want. You can use all the fancy words. You can be all religious and miss God. Are you listening to His voice in your life? The crowd was going with the conventional wisdom of the day, which was go fetch the ark and let's let that lead us into battle. The conventional wisdom. But here was the Lord trying to get their attention. 4,000 dead didn't get their attention. 30,000 dead really doesn't get their attention. They scatter. When God speaks, He doesn't stutter. He'll speak to you in your life. And even though you might be in person, if you're listening to God, phew, the sky is the limit for your life. What's He saying to you? I know the world can make it look good. They can dress it up. They can have all the shouting. They can have all the stuff, the trappings that goes on. I've quoted this many times, you know, Chuck Swindoll years ago on cover of Christianity Today, about 20 years ago now, sitting on a Harley there with his black jacket in the article they did on, they did that to get everybody's attention. Look at Chuck Swindoll, this preacher on a Harley. But the message he was given that day, the article they wrote was, the big danger in the church today is we have learned how to mimic the Holy Spirit. They were mimicking God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We must listen to His voice. We must. Because His desire, what was His desire for Israel? Victory! Prosperity! Peace, deliverance. What did they choose? What do you choose today? Is God speaking to you? The answer to that is yes. But are you listening? And please, don't say to me, Brother Dusty, God isn't speaking to me. That's not true. That doesn't hold up here in this book. God is speaking to you. Are you listening? Well, how do I listen? We're going to talk about a lot of details about that in the next few weeks. But let me give you a starter. Why don't you start by spending a little time in this book? You can just go back and read what we read today. It'll speak to you. It'll bust you wide open. And spend some time in prayer. Listen to His voice. We're going to open the altar. If you'd like to come and spend some time at the altar today, or pray sitting right where you are. Doesn't matter to me. It's not doing any of this for me. We got an audience of one. He's ready, willing, and able to speak right now. Are you listening? Let's pray. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, today you can do that. You can invite Him into your life. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He loves you. That voice you're hearing today, that prompting that you're feeling right now, whether you've never known Jesus before, known Him most of your life, that prompting right now, that's the Holy Spirit. He's speaking. Will you listen to His voice right now? Lord, as we open the altar now, we come to You and I thank You. I thank You for Your love and for Your mercy. I thank You for the example of Samuel, Your servant. Lord, as he stood in stark contrast to all of Israel in that day. Lord, I'm asking You to make of us a people who will not just be weird, but a people who will stand in stark contrast to the culture. Let us be Your people. Let us hear Your voice. Let us follow Your lead. Lord, speak to us today. The altar's open. Pastors will be here. If you'd like to come, we'd be glad to pray with you.
Oh Lord, You've searched me. You know my way. Even when I fail You, I know You love me. Your holy presence surrounding me. In every season, I know You love me. I bow my knee where Your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
When You said that it
cross from my eyes. And you stand before me. I know you love me. I know you love me. Well, at the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. Have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now?
You would look this way. I want to especially speak to our young folk today. I wish that someone would have taught me what I've been trying to teach you the last two Sundays when I was your age. I wish that. I look back on that. Because I was being prompted, and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do with it. Lord's going to be speaking to you, and He'll come at odd times. He'll speak words. He'll use circumstances. He'll use people, and He always uses His Word, the Bible. I encourage you to listen this week. All right. We want to send you out in the name of Jesus. What's your assignment for this week? Listen. Listen. What's God's economy? Two ears and one mouth. Let's say it together. Two ears, one mouth. Hey, just think of all the trouble that you could have saved yourself if you'd had that kind of economy in your life up to this point. Lord, now we send out this body. In the name of Jesus, Lord, in your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, with the authority of the Father upon our lives, Lord, send us out now.